Next, we have a very distinguished speaker. I really admire this person. When I come on to NHA and evaluated some of these subrecipients' capacities, this is one organization that really was top notch of all of that. And so I want to introduce my friend, Mr. Joseph Aspar. We created this relationship, but they do great work for our very, very low-income families on the reservation. And so and he can speak to you from a subrecipient perspective. And so, Joe, if you can come up and give us a few remarks, that would be so great. Thank you.
My name is Joseph. Middle initial is G. And I tell everybody that stands for gorgeous. And everybody laughs. Last name is Esparza. E-S-P-A-R-Z-A. And on the back side of that description of services is our name. With me today, I brought our deputy director, Jeremy Boucher. He's standing right there in the back. He's the one that's going to be talking about the processes that he had gone through in trying to meet the mandates of the procurement system, the financial system for that Navajo Housing Authority has directed us to follow. Roberta Concho over here, the lady in red there, she is our accountant. She will be speaking briefly on the finances that we've gone through to try to adhere to your mandates. And then after that, Jeremy will be taking you on a tour of our warehouse, giving an explanation of the things that we've done, our accomplishments. Basically, what I will be doing will be giving you a brief history of the Southwest Indian Foundation and why we are happy to be a subrecipient in this program, the housing program that the Navajo Housing Authority offers. Back in 1997, the Southwest Indian Foundation was only in the business of doing home renovations. Since 1968, that's when we were founded by our founding priest, Father Dunstan Schmidlin. But it was just home renovation, plus a lot of the other services that you see on that description of services. In 1997, the Air Force, the officers of the engineering department with the Air Force Academy came down and met with us and asked if we would partner with them in home construction. That was something new for us. And so we took a chance. And in 1998, the first four homes that the cadets built up at the academy came down to Navajo. And you'll probably pass by one of our first houses that is right there by the junction of 264 and 491 going towards Shiprock. In 1997, Mr. Earl Tooley had gone to the Air Force Academy with our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. William B. McCarthy, and came back and he says, let me introduce you to then the Chief Executive Officer for the Navajo Housing Authority. He extended the invitation to attend a meeting. When I walked in, it was like, who are you? What are you supposed to be doing here? And no one had ever heard of the Southwest Indian Foundation, even though we had been in existence since 1968. Anyway, we asked if there was any way that we could get some financing through the Navajo Housing Authority, and there was that reluctancy to participate with us. It wasn't until about 2000 when our Chief Executive Officer met with the Chief Executive Officer for Navajo Housing Authority, and that's when our partnership began with NHA. And since then, we have existed up until the present. This warehouse right here, this building that you see in front of right now, belongs to the Navajo Housing Authority. It was just a shell when we took it over. The Navajo Housing Authority asked if we would be interested in taking it over. They bought the property, the warehouse, and turned it over to us. Since then, we have expended a considerable amount of money of our own in remodeling it. This structure that you are in right now did not exist. The ground floor was nothing but dirt. Over the years, we built this structure, made this conference room what it is now, and it's now also the headquarters for the military. The military that come out here every summer to help us build homes. It's part of the reserve training for the reserve units, the different branches throughout the country. This year we'll have the Navy CBs that will be coming out here. As you can see by the pictures on the walls here, these are all the units that have been out here over the years, since 2000. And some are repeats, different units that have taken in more memberships or more members into the units. So we've progressed considerably. And we have, at this point in time, I understand we have built, or are building, a total of about 261 homes now.
When we finish this project, we will be up to 261 homes.
How do we fund this project? Well, if it wasn't for the Navajo Housing Authority, it would be very, very difficult. They've given us millions of dollars to buy the materials that we utilize in the construction of the home. We also use our own funding to pay salaries, to pay for expenses that are not covered through the Navajo Housing Authority. To the tune, I would say, gather about $400,000 now that we have spent our own funding.
On an annual basis for the project itself.
Yes. Where do we get the money? We get the money from our catalog. This catalog is distributed nationwide around 7 or 8 times a year. When I first came to work here in 1984, we were relying on appeal letters going out nationwide, and if we drew $1 million a year, we were lucky to provide all of the programs that you see in our description of services. Our young chief executive officer, Mr. William McCarthy, came up with this idea. And as a result now, it generates anywhere to $15 million. And so this allows us to expand our services. We're able to provide a lot more services besides just building homes. That's how we generate our funding. Why did this whole thing start? The Air Force cadets at the academy were concerned because they were, as part of their engineering training at the academy, they had to do architectural design. They built the homes, and then they tore them down. Well, that was frustrating to the cadets because surely somebody could use a completed home. So they came to us, and that's how it took off. In 2000, when we got together with the Navajo Housing Authority, we got $200,000 the first time. We built 4 homes. The next year, we got another $200,000, and we built 4 more homes. But they weren't being built here. They were being built at the academy. We transported them down from the academy to people that have been designated as recipients for these homes. And in the third year, that's when the poo-poo hit the fan. NHS said, wait a minute. We're giving you $200,000, but you're not complying with NHA regulations. Well, we didn't know that. We thought it was a gift from the chief executive officer. So that's when the laws, the rules and regulations began. We had to comply with procurement regulations. We had to comply with financial regulations, and that's the way it is now. And so each year we try to build anywhere from 16 to 20 homes. It's not very many. It's a small program. We will never, probably ever meet the demand of 35,000, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to try to help. Over the years, we've also learned that it's not that simple to comply with rules and regulations because there are so many that we have to adhere to. That includes not only the rules on procurement, trying to contract with people, but it also means that there are difficulties in trying to work with utility companies, in trying to provide the water lines to the homes, the power lines, meeting the requirements of 9 different committees with the Navajo tribe. So we understand perfectly the problems that the Navajo Housing Authority experiences every time they want to do something, because we have to go through the same thing, only on a smaller scale. But we've learned. We're learning constantly. Thank God that Jeremy came on board about 6-7 years ago, about 5, and he will be replacing me when I retire in 2018, at the end of the year. That's when I will be stepping down. He takes over. Thank God that we will have a partnership like we have right now. Only it continues. By that time, I'll be 1 month short of 81 years old. And Jeremy can take it over. Thank God that Roberta's been here. Roberta has been a tremendous asset to our financial part of the program. I think that this is all I need to present, and I want to turn it over to Ms. Jeremy to talk about the procurement process, the rules and regulations that he has researched, put together, and that we follow.
I don't have too much to add. Essentially, all of the procurement stuff that was already laid out, we've adopted that as our own, as a subrecipient. So it was basically a big cut-and-paste project, and we said, here's our procurement policy. So we followed those same procedures, those same rules and regulations. And I came on 5 years ago. That was already in place, so we did that early on. Since I've started over the last 5 years, we've come a long way with the help of NHA. We started doing, so if you spend more than $750,000 a year, you have to have an independent audit of your program. We did that first, I think, and we were a little late. So we like I said, we've come a long way since those early days. So we had our initial audit, and it was probably an audit of two or three years. And there were a bunch of findings. So we've spent the last 5 years just trying to clean those things up. NHA has actually sent out their compliance team to do sort of a monitoring review of us, and we're down to one last finding, and it's a sticky one. It's one of those land issue deals, the binding useful life agreements, right? If you're doing low income housing, you have to have something binding that says the owner cannot sell that home and profit from it if there are federal funds expended to build that home. Well, it's a difficult legal situation on the Navajo Reservation, because ownership of property doesn't work the same way there as it does just on private land. So there's a lot of legal issues that have to be worked through. So we're getting there. And I think hopefully we're working with NHA still. As soon as we get those ironed out, then we're looking forward to our first year of no findings at all. I mean, that's what we're all working towards. And, you know, these things are, we've been just going along, building homes, and, you know, there's nothing untoward going on. It's just that there is a stack of regulations, and it's taken a lot of work for us to go through and say, oh, well, there it is. Yeah, okay, we should be doing this, that, or the other. So anyway, the long and the short of it is we've sort of grown with NHA as all these things were getting straightened out on their end. It was kind of, you know, we can vouch for the fact that the whole program is gone to a very professional level, and we're a little behind, but we're sort of coming along, and they've given us some really great technical assistance, and it's actually helped our program out a lot. We're thankful for that, and we're definitely thankful for the partnership that we have. So I'm glad to have you all here. Anybody has any questions, I can answer them briefly, or we can just go down and take a look, and I'll show you guys what we do. Basically, the way that this system works here is, when, like Mr. Esparza said, when we first started, the Air Force Academy was building these homes in a modular style, and then we were shipping them down here. When we got the warehouse and extra funding, we simply took that system that they had designed and implemented it here in Gallup. So we went from doing 4 houses a year in those early years to, yeah, I think we're right around 10 houses in a 12-month period now. So the Southwest Indian Foundation provides all the funding for the labor. So all the guys out there are paid directly by Southwest Indian Foundation. My salary, Mr. Esparza's salary, obviously. And then capital expenditures. So all the equipment that we use, the Bobcat, the backhoe, the trailers, the pickup trucks, all of that stuff that's more capital expenditures we cover. So over the years, it's millions and millions of dollars that the Southwest Indian Foundation has put in. And that's what makes it a great partnership. I think that is what's made us successful. I think a lot of programs try to get into getting funding from NHA because it looks like, hey, this is great. We'll get a couple $1 million and we'll build some houses. And then before they know it, they've expended all of that money in administrative costs, and there's no money left for building. So that's why we've been, you know, successful. We haven't had to rely on just NHA funding to make the program work. And so we're glad to do it. It fits right in with our mission, and we hopefully will be doing it for many, many years to come.